Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to OneSpatial's final results to January 2024. I'm Claire Milverton, CEO, and this is Stuart, our CFO.
Hi there.
So an agenda of what we're going to be covering over the next 30 minutes or so. So I'll be kicking off with an overview and highlights, then over to Stuart for the financial review, back to me for market overview and what's the areas of focus for FY25, then a brief summary and outlook. Quickly to start, an overview on OneSpatial. So we split the business into two key areas now. We have our existing enterprise business and our SaaS business. And I want to talk through, first of all, our existing enterprise business. Now, this provides the expertise, reputation, and financial resources to invest in our two SaaS businesses, which I'll talk about in a moment. So at OneSpatial, we are leaders in location master data management, and we have our market-leading software platform to do this. And we'll talk about that platform in a bit more detail in a moment and the USPs that we have. But what it enables is for our customers to make critical decisions from up-to-date and accurate location data. And we sit in the middle of two key global growing markets, the GIS market and the master data management market. We have over 1,000 customers globally, with customers such as Google, UK Power Networks. And we work with partners across the globe in the GIS industry and in the mainstream IT sector. We have a growing recurring revenue and we're increasing our geographical spread. Our whole strategy has been around building annual recurring revenues. And we're really pleased to report that we've tipped over into the more than 50% of recurring revenues, with 56% this year versus 49% last year. Geographically, we're spread across UK and Ireland, Europe, US and Australia. Key growth geographies for us are the US and the UK. So we've got our two new high-margin SaaS solutions that we've been using this enterprise business to fund. And we've been building this over the last 4 years. In the UK, we have One Streetworks, which has a market opportunity of over 400 million. And in the US, we have NG911, which has a market opportunity of more than 350 million. So we're really excited because we just launched these two SaaS solutions in this financial year. They will have the margins of a SaaS business, 80 to 90% gross margin, and they really are expanding our addressable markets. And we'll look at our markets more in the second part of the presentation. But we have been heavily investing in our cloud platform and these SaaS solutions. And Stuart will talk more about our R&D investment later in the presentation. So what have we been doing in FY24? Well, we've really been growing that ARR, as we showed on the previous slide, and we've launched our two SaaS solutions. So just looking at the chart here of our recurring revenue and margin expansion, we have revenue growth of 8%, our ARR has gone up 9%, our gross margin has improved by 3%, and our EBITDA margin has improved by 10%. Obviously, Stuart will take you through these in a bit more detail in a moment. So it has been a year of strong sales and execution and contract delivery. So we delivered multi-year contracts across all of our key geographies. And then looking at some of the particular geographies, in the UK, we increased our footprint across utilities, securing multi-year renewals, and we've continued our collaboration with the UK government agencies and partners. So just in terms of some specific names there, we've won a first contract with Yorkshire Water. We've just renewed some of our big work that we're doing with Ordnance Survey, and we've continued our delivery on the National Underground Asset Register project. In the US, we're now in 18 states, and we've just added the state of Oregon to that list, and we continue to expand with existing customers. And we have some really great names on our portfolio in the US with the likes of Google and Caltrans, which is the Department of Transport for California. And we do really have a huge growth potential in the US, and I'll be talking about that in a bit more detail later on. So in Europe, we've completed our transition from declining legacy software, and it's now an engine for growth. So you'll see in the numbers that it's been relatively flat in terms of growth in FY24. But we made some good contract wins at the end of the year, and that's now poised for growth in the coming year. And that's through some of the investment that we did last year and putting in a new sales director into Europe. So we're now reaping the rewards from that. So finally, we launched our two SaaS solutions successfully in the year. We got a small, modest amount of revenue in the year just from some of the trials that we did. But we're really pleased that at the year end, we announced our first license deal with UK Power Networks in the South for £350,000. And I'll talk a bit more about that later on because it's a really great landmark contract. So that's all about FY24. And before handing over to Stuart, I just thought it was really worth just spending a few minutes on what it is that we do at OneSpatial that really puts us in this unique position. And we have some fantastic people, but it's also down to our multi-use location master data management software platform. At the bottom in the yellow, you can see these databases. What we can do is we can bring lots of data in from lots of different systems, different types of data into our platform to then get going on that data and clean it and do all the good things that we do with it. And that really does give us a USP because we're data agnostic and system agnostic. We bring data into our cloud-enabled portal and then we can get going on the data. And one of the projects that I always talk about is the National Underground Asset Register in the UK, where we're bringing in data from over 650 different asset providers, and that's all in different systems, all in different format, all to differing levels of data quality. And what we do is we create the rules that says this is how the data should look. We bring those rules in the rules catalogue into our solution, and then we get going on the data. So we validate the data, clean the data, we can synchronize the data across your data estate. We can update that data for the changes that come through, as obviously geospatial data is always changing, and then we can do some analysis on that data. And in a moment, I'm going to talk you through the state of Oregon using our platform, because that's a new state and it's a new use case for us. And then once you've got your data clean, you can either put that into your own business application. So the customers might want to put that in their own business applications, or you can put it into our business applications in France that we have sitting on top of the Esri platform. And also, what's really important to note here on the top right-hand corner in the grey cylinder is the OneSpatial Business App. So we're using this platform, our One Integrate and One Data Gateway, our One Integrate is patented, to drive and fuel our OneSpatial SaaS solutions, which are OneStreetWorks and NG911, which I'll talk about a bit more later on. So that's the platform. And then just to take the example of a win that we had in the year, our first win, the state of Oregon, we got a $400K of annual recurring revenue using it. And what they're using the platform for is to bring together parcel geospatial data from the 36 counties, bring that up into the state, into one database, and then compare that with the tax assessor data, which is actually not spatial, it's sort of tabular data. But we're creating that tabular data into a spatial database. So basically we can help the tax authorities check, are what people's saying in their sort of forms and everything they're submitting, does that align to the spatial data? So you could say to the tax authority, I've actually got 1.5 acres of land, and then they can use the spatial data to check that actually it's 2 acres. So they can really find discrepancies. And the parcel data you can also use for things like broad plan planning. So we've been creating this with Oregon, and then we've created them two brand new valuable statewide spatial databases that they can use for, you know, multiple use cases. So they're really pleased with what we're doing there. And this is whole of our strategy. We go into a state, we want to land, and we want to expand. So we've landed in Oregon with this parcels and tax solution, which is the first one of this solution. And then we can expand. So within Oregon, we can now talk to them about our other technology. So we've got solutions for NG911. We can also talk about the road data solutions that we have with the Department of Transport. And we could also take that parcel solution and expand within the US. And I'll talk a lot about the US later on because, you know, we really are not capitalizing enough on the opportunity out there. So we're refocusing the teams, but we still have an ambition of getting to 1 million of annual recurring revenue per state. We now have software in 18 states, but, you know, there's obviously 50 in total. So we're going at the enterprise level in the states. We're looking for 1 million annual recurring revenue in total. So now I'm going to hand over to Stuart, who will take us more through the finances for FY24.
Thanks, Claire. So just to give you a quick overview of the performance in FY24. So we were slightly ahead of market expectations at a revenue level. So we recorded 32.3 versus the 32.1 that was out in the market, with EBITDA in line at 5.5. Group revenue increased by 8% compared to the same period in the previous year, which is really encouraging, with double-digit increases in recurring revenues and EBITDA. So as Claire mentioned, the recurring revenue now makes up 56% of our total revenue figure, which is up 7 percentage points from the previous year, which is a really encouraging statistic for me, with gross margin increasing by 3 percentage points to 55%. As I mentioned, EBITDA is in line with market expectations, with an increase of 10% to 5.5 million for FY24. So during the course of the year, as I mentioned, we continued our investment in our platforms and our development. These projects and products are now largely complete, and we are now going to capitalize on those products and develop the sales around those. That's the key focus for FY25. During the course of the year, we took out some costs, mainly in Europe, and restructured our teams. We'll be able to leverage benefits operationally from those cost-based streamlines. And we're anticipating that it's going to generate about £1 million of cash savings in FY25 and beyond per year. So what are we going to do this year? We're going to execute on our strategy, which is going to drive transformational margin contribution and cash generation from our new SaaS businesses, as Claire's mentioned. So moving on, in terms of a slightly deeper dive on the income statement. So as you can see, and as I mentioned, revenue increased by 8% with recurring revenue at 56%, which is an encouraging statistic. That feeds down to higher gross profits than the previous year. So we're up about 15% to almost 18 million of gross profit for the year. And that's really due to the revenue mix in terms of the term license sales compared to the non-recurring elements of revenue. So the gross profit percentage increases to 55%. The adjusted EBITDA has increased by 10%. We have seen some inflationary increases during the course of the year in terms of our cost base, as well as adverse FX variances. So we have generated a higher EBITDA, and we have been able to weather and absorb the increases in costs at an EBITDA and all the way down through an operating profit level. So you can see the element that I would pick out below EBITDA is the restructuring costs. As I mentioned, the majority of that relates to France, and it will yield operational benefits going forward. So in terms of the cash flow, the cash to be generated from operations, excluding those exceptional costs that I mentioned on the previous slides in terms of the restructure, were broadly consistent with last year. We're down a little bit compared to last year, but it's pretty comparable. And what we did was we used that cash to invest in our software development. So we're at a stage now where we've got some fully finalized and ready for sale platforms, and we intend to capitalize on that in FY25 and beyond. There were also some lease payments that we made. So these are finance leases on our buildings, which led to some cash outflow with some other outflows from interest payments, PP&E, and some inflows from tax. Predominantly, we used the cash we generated from operations to invest within our platform in line with our strategy. What I would say, a couple of points to draw out. The first is that the R&D spend is expected to decrease by 500,000 next year. And then the year after, we're expecting a further decrease in the R&D spend. At the end of the year, the net cash was 1.1, so that's down about 2 million from the same period in the previous year. And what that relates to is the investment that we've made in the Streetworks and the other SaaS products that we've made, and also the exceptional costs. By the end of next year, I'm expecting the net cash to be in line with the net cash that we generated up until the end of the 31st of January, with a consistent available liquidity of 4.1. So at the moment, we've got banking facilities in place of 3 million. There's 1.1 million undrawn, but this is sufficient to finance our operations for the foreseeable future. So Claire's talked about the performance by region. So we can see that we've got double-digit growth over all of our regions, with the exception of Europe, which was flat. The investment in the sales director has actually yielded lots of benefits during the course of FY24, with two major deals signed during the year in Belgium. So we've got a very clear line of sight of the revenue for FY25 and beyond as a result of those contracts, which is helpful in terms of the security of the revenue and very positive for the European business. So we're looking to grow that next year. In the UK, we've seen some significant contract wins, which has contributed to the 11% increase year on year. That is as a result of the expansion of our footprint in the utility sector and some multi-year renewals with some existing customers. As Claire mentioned, there's still work to do in the US, but we have seen increases of 10% compared to the previous year. We've got a good security of revenue going into the following year, but that's going to be the real focal area, of one of the focal areas of growth going into FY25 and beyond. In terms of the contribution from a revenue perspective by each of the individual countries, hasn't really changed much from last year, with the UK and Europe making up the majority of the revenue contribution for FY24. So if we just take a look at the recurring revenue growth compared to the previous year. So we've got 18.1 million of recurring revenue this year versus 14.8 in the previous year, which is really encouraging. The term license revenue is actually up 60% compared to the same period in the previous year. with the first SaaS contributions this year. So only 200,000 the current year. As Claire mentioned, we've secured a contract with the UK Power Networks, all of which we expect to recognise in FY25. So that's 350,000 she mentioned earlier. In terms of recurring revenue percentage, it's worth making the point that last year we recorded 49% of our revenue was from recurring sources. At the half year, 53, and now 56. So in terms of annualized recurring revenue growth, we can see a steady increase in that level of annualized recurring revenue from FY2020. I have just pulled out those figures the last 5 years, and we can see CAGR of 11% over the five-year period, which is really encouraging and actually gives us a degree of certainty going into FY25 in terms of the security of our forecasts. So going forward, what do we plan to do? We plan to execute really on the full SaaS cloud-based revenue model. You can see at the moment, we are ticking along the curve a little bit. So this was something I've shared at the last couple of presentations. So the contribution is now 200,000 from our SaaS products, with the expectation that's going to significantly increase going forward as we scale the opportunity. We've finished the development in this. It's now all about executing on the opportunity that we see. So we're aiming for a higher proportion of revenue, as I mentioned, from recurring SaaS and term licenses, and we can drive the margin expansion and cash contribution into the business through the execution on our strategy there. So handing back to Claire then for the looking ahead section.
Thanks very much, Stuart. So in this section, I'm going to firstly cover a bit around the market, because it really is expanding. The demand for accurate location data has never been greater. We'll then talk a bit more about the enterprise business, the heart of One Spatial and our competitive advantage and what we intend to do around that. And then finally, we're going to look more at the SaaS solutions, where we know there is an absolute opportunity for transformational growth and what we need to do in this current year to really ensure we get that significant growth in FY26 and beyond. So just at a macro level, you know, the demand for having up-to-date, accurate location data has never been greater. And it's not just at an organizational level. You really need it at a national level. You know, you can't plan for electric vehicles if the data around the electricity sources is all held by the different utilities across the UK. You can't maintain the nation's flood defences unless you have like a full, complete view of the UK. We help the Environment Agency with this in the UK. And you need to have a complete view of all the roads and the access for the emergency services, you know, not by public safety answering boy, but by county, city, state. You need to have it, and you need to have it connected to improve those response times. And as you just saw earlier, you know, with the Oregon example, now bring it, they can't have the data for all of those parcels sitting in all the cities and the counties. They need that at a state level so that they can really do that accurate tax assessment. And it's true to say there is a statistic now that says of all the data, 80% of data now has a location element. So this just really plays to One Spatial strength. So, you know, the overall market is significant for us. And we have this unique position where we really are positioned at the middle of two global growing markets. So on the left-hand side, we have the geospatial market. So this is dominated by the players like Esri, who are our partners that we work with. And on the right-hand side, you've got the master data management players. You know, that can be all large IT companies, systems integrators, CGI, IBM. But what we do for our customers is we can create this unique position where we can bring GIS data together and mainstream data together. And it's really important that we have partners in both of these sides. So we do have partners in the GIS side like Esri, but on the right-hand side, we have partners like CGI, you know, because they can bring us in, not an Atkins, they can bring us into the larger IT projects, which then have a component, which is spatial. And that's what's happened indeed with CGI. And just after the year end, CGI won a contract with the UK Cabinet Office, £100 million strategic partner contract. And we are a contractor to CGI because we're going to help them with all the spatial data element of that delivery project, which is really great for us. Okay, so that's broadly the market. And there are sub-markets that we are focusing on as well. And I'll talk about that as we go through. But, you know, the LMDM, our core competitive advantage, and it's really around one integrate, one data gateway to our sectors of government, utilities and transportation. And as Stuart mentioned earlier, we do continue to invest in our world-class platform. And we're now incorporating AI into that platform. No, not just rules to bring in the data and check the data. We are incorporating elements of AI. Strengthening those partner relationships, which I just mentioned earlier, are really important to us. And a key focus for me this year really is around the US opportunity and getting to that 1 million of annual recurring revenue per state. And we have 18 states so far, so we've got the rest to go after. And Oregon, as I mentioned earlier, is a new one that we've gained this year. So in terms of this FY25 focus, it's setting up the US sales division for success. So we brought in a sales director last year. He's been in situ for 6 months and he's working out well. And one of the things that we decided that the current focus, which is geographically based, so each account manager will sell all of our products. We now want them sector-based. So we want them to sell, we want specific account executive focused on the Department of Transport, specific ones focused on NGU 911. And now we've got this new use case around the parcels, and that would be potentially another sector. And to complement that, we've also got an industry expert starting on the 1st of May, and she is very focused on NG 911. She's got a sales background in NG 911, but she also sits on a number of the committees for the public safety in NG 911. So she's a really great resource and she's really going to help us grow and have this sector focus in that particular area. We're going to also increase our sales resource on the account executives in the US this year, because we do think it is a significant opportunity and we still don't think we're capitalizing on that enough. So that is an area of investment in FY25. And just more generally, as I mentioned, post-year end, we signed a couple of significant framework agreements. I already mentioned the one with the Cabinet Office via CGI. And we've got a really good framework, again, with the state of Texas, again, and really an untapped state for us, where this contract enables any department within the state of Texas can use us, use our software and use our people. And so it's been a great achievement to get on that framework. So what that means is we don't have to go to tender. They can directly procure from us going forward. Before going into the SaaS, we've got another example of where our platform in action. And this is with Caltrans. So Caltrans is probably the biggest department of transport in California. It is really the leading light. And again, this is an example where we work with a partner. So we work with Rising. So they're now owned by Wipro. And this contract that we won in the year for 0.4 million is to create a transport asset management system for the Department of Transport. And what we're doing is we're bringing the data together from a number of different databases. And you can see that at the bottom in yellow, lots of different databases, there's linear road system, other data, some Excel data, some traffic crash data. And what we need to do is, as well as create that new database, is keep all of those individual bases synchronized and up to date. So it's quite a big task, but gives them a lot of value. And that contract is delivering really well, and that should be up and running fairly soon. But again, just back to the land and expand strategy, there's more expansion here with the state of California and Caltrans specifically. We've just signed a pilot opportunity with Caltrans to do another pilot for their CARS program. And as I mentioned earlier, it's really great to get in with Caltrans, the leading light. And back to my earlier point as well, now we've really got this sector focus on the departments of transport in our new structure that we think are really going to get that transformational growth for us in the US. So I'll now move on to the SaaS solution. So the first SaaS solution is with NG911. So I've talked a lot about the enterprise, which is with the states themselves. So we've got about 8 enterprise deals with NG911 at the state, but we see a massive opportunity in the cities and the counties where we can offer a SaaS solution. And the market there is over $350 million of annual recurring revenue. So as you'd expect from a SaaS solution, no services, quick to access, excellent gross margins. And, it's likely to be much more smaller individual sales, but on a larger scale. And we're targeting 10 to 15% market share. So what's our progress been? Well, in FY24, we secured 5 contracts. But we are selling, these are relatively small, but it's a 15K or a 30K, and we've had one person selling, individually. And we've decided this isn't really the best use of our resources. We're a small organization. We are limited to our resources to some extent. We want our resources on the bigger enterprise deals. So what the contracts that we did do gave us some insight. So the people that had the contract said, this is brilliant. We love the technology. It sorts all our data out for us, but it'd be much better if we didn't have to come out of our Esri system, go into the One Spatial system and clean the data. So we created this Esri plugin. So you can just stay in your Esri system and it will call our system and clean the data for you. So we've been developing that over the last a few months. It's pretty much ready. So we're going to really look in conjunction with getting the NG911 specialist on board. We're going to reconfigure what we're going to do. So our focus for FY25 is to just make sure we finish that Esri plugin. And we're going to look at going to a new go-to-market approach, potentially via distributors led by our new NG911 industry expert. But we still think there is, you know, a really good market there. It's definitely something we're going to address. And hopefully by the time we come back for the half year, we'll have more clarity on our go-to-market opportunity around NG911 SaaS in the cities and the counties. And then moving on finally to the One Streetworks solution. So, you know, we did do a specific deep dive onto this on the 12th of March with our industry expert, Andy Fennell, who really has experience in getting new products to market and has industry specialist around Streetworks arena. But just to clarify, you know, what we're actually doing here, this is the first solution in the market to automate the production of traffic management plans, significantly reducing time and costs. And what a traffic management plan is shown in the picture on the left-hand side bottom there. So how you lay out all the cones, all the traffic lights. And you have to do this if you want to dig up the road, if you're a utility. You need to do this to go and get a permit to go ahead with the roadwork. So currently it's done all very manually or using some sort of CAD tools, but there's no automatic approach. And we've created this. And there's a significant market for this. There's over 4 million roadworks a year on low speed roads alone, given an addressable market of over 400 million of annual recurring revenue. That was around 2.5 million 2 years ago. So it really is growing. This is a pure SaaS solution, usual attributes, no services, quick to access, one platform to maintain, gross margin of 80%. And we are targeting 25 to 30% market share. And we have an ambition to get to 40 million of annual recurring revenue in the next 5 years. So this doesn't have any competitors because nobody else is doing this, but it does have the fact that it's a new product to market, which is slightly harder from that perspective. So progress in FY24, we signed our first significant contract right at the end, actually, of FY24 with UK Power Networks and South. And as Stuart said, we got the recurring revenue for that will be coming into this FY25, actually, in terms of the revenue recognition. But this piece of work that we've done in the South, we've started on it. We've started the training with it. The feedback from all users has been excellent. So we're now developing the business cases so that we can sort of prove all the return on investment from putting our technology in place. And by doing these business cases, we're getting them ready by the end of June so that they can get included in UK Power Networks budget the following year, because this is a regulated entity that have specific budgeting cycles, and we have to work within that. So what's our focus for the financial year coming up? Well, we have two key target sectors, I would say. So first of all, we have the utilities. So we're creating these business cases for UK Power Networks. These are return on investment justifications. You know, these are really aligned to all the other distribution network operators in utilities, but probably closely aligned to all the ones in the energy. So all the other electricity distribution network operators, the gas ones. So they're going to be really our focus first, because we've got those sort of proof points. And indeed, we've got a number of inbounds now. So we've got 6 or 7 DNOs that we're working with because they really want to use it. We've been publicising about the UK Power Networks traction and all the brilliant stats and KPIs that we're getting out of that. So we really are getting inbounds. I think, you know, the go-to-market on that is going to be, you know, go in, get some innovation funding to help them prove that whilst we're proving it with UK Power Networks and build their business cases. So aligned to that, we're also looking at working with all the tier ones. So they're the people that actually dig up the roads like the Balfour Beatties, Milestone that used to be Skanska. And we've got a lot of interest there. Looking to hopefully land our first one of them relatively soon. So again, once we get the use case with them, you know, that can really help. And it could be quicker traction, we believe, in that area, because you've got less of the regulation. So more commercial organisations, and it's quicker to just go ahead and sign those deals with us. So that's our target market in FY25. And yeah, we're really investing in the sales resource in that. So I'm currently interviewing for a new sales director and a sales team to then join that sales director to capitalize on the opportunity. And really, the overall aim for FY25 is to build those foundations for solid FY26 26 recurring revenues. And it's probably more than solid, actually. It's like really, you know, getting those exponential type of revenues that are sort of transformational to our P&L in FY26. So we're really confident about the outlook for OneSpatial. We're really excited about the opportunities that we have. And, you know, we had a really solid start to the year. We had those two large framework contracts, got the pilots that are happening with the likes of Caltrans, and really getting good traction on those One Streetworks opportunities. We've got a really full pipeline. We are looking to really grow our SaaS contribution throughout the business. You know, we did a modest amount last year, really improving that this year, you know, but really significant opportunities in FY26. And we are investing in our sales function. We have to do this year. We've proven the offering now. We've got to execute on it, and we've got to get those sales in so that we can get that transformational growth in FY26. And we're really confident in the revenue progression. We should have much better quality of revenue in FY26 with a much more favourable mix, you know, and that really increases our operational leverage. So we're very excited about the future.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.